Sandy Canale, founder and CEO of The Compliance Team, a Medicare-approved accreditation organization. Welcome back to The Healthcare Architect. I'd like to share something with you before we get started on our topic for today. The Compliance Team is celebrating 25 years in business and just came back from a wonderful national meeting in Amelia Island, celebrating with all of our employees all over the country, celebrating their contributions as to how they helped build the foundation of the company to give us the staying power that we've achieved in that 25 years. Today, we're going to talk about diabetes self-management training. Here at the Compliance Team, one of the things that we focus on when we create new business models as offerings to our customers is looking at it from a revenue stream perspective for you as well as us. So diabetes self-management training is a great opportunity for both our DemiPost providers as well as pharmacies. Now, in DemiPost, you're already likely doing meters and strips. You can add insulin pumps. You can add diabetic shoes and then offer diabetes self-management training. Now, let's talk about what you would need in order to do that. You would need to have either a nutritionist or a dietitian or a diabetic educator to perform the training. Now, this person doesn't need to be an employee. It could actually be an independent contractor performing these duties. Now, why are we talking about diabetes self-management training? Let's talk about the market. 1 in 3 U.S. adults have diabetes or pre-diabetes. Approximately 25% of seniors less than 65 years old have diabetes, and 84 million are pre-diabetic. Now that has a huge financial impact. $327 billion are the total costs of diagnosed diabetes in the United States in 2017, and $237 billion were spent on direct medical costs. Not only that, as a DemiPost provider offering the pumps and the diabetic shoes and now the training, this is also a great opportunity for pharmacies. Again, they may be doing DemiPost items like strips that are diabetic related. Also, every diabetic that comes into your pharmacy typically has 5 other prescriptions over and above what is used for diabetes. You also have the over-the-counter items like foot care and things for pain and, you know, sugar-free candies and all sugar-free items if they get sick, immunizations. You know, certainly there's a great need for diabetics to have their flu shots. And then diabetic self-management training. Now, what do you need to do in order to do that? You as a pharmacist need to have 15 hours of continuing education. And your patient must have been certified by their primary care physician to say that they do in fact have diabetes and write an order for these diabetic classes. Now let's talk about an average billing opportunity for you. Typically it's an appointment-based model. Initially there's a 1-hour meeting. You then have 12 months of 25 minutes each with meetings, 2 group classes of 2 hours at a time over a year, so that your maximized total billing amount is 10 hours, and the average reimbursement per patient is $350 to $450. Not bad if you look at how many diabetics are coming into your store currently. Now, let's look at what standards you need to comply to in order to be able to bill. Let me point out that in order to meet the criteria to bill, number one, you can't be a Medicare provider just on the diabetes alone. You need to be a billing provider for pharmacy in Part B or in DMEPOS Part B. And then the diabetes is just an add-on service that would be completed. In order to bill, you also need to be accredited by one of the CMS-approved agencies. Currently, there are two, and the compliance team is expected to be deemed in diabetes self-management by the end of February 2020. The first standard that you need to comply to is that, you know, you have licensed, certified, or registered personnel in accordance with applicable state and local laws. Everybody has to do that. Certainly you and pharmacies are aware of being in compliance with regulatory and applicable state laws. Number two, you need to have a clearly defined and documented organizational structure. You already have lines of authority in your pharmacy or in your DME because you're most likely accredited by, you know, for your pharmacy or your DME. So in the organizational structure, you need to have a mission statement and goals for the diabetic education program, staffing charts, and of course, job description, and really evidence of support from sponsoring organizations. Number three relates to ongoing support from your stakeholders in your community. I'm sure that there's many organizations in your community that want you and need you to offer this vital service. You need to collect patient satisfaction and dissatisfaction, and that's tied directly to your quality improvement plan. Now, your organization is going to evaluate your community as it relates to the design and delivery methods that are required to offer self-management training classes. What type of target population do you have in your community? And in order to allocate the appropriate amount of personnel and resources, you, of course, need to assess that. In the standard, it also talks about having adequate space, the budget for personnel, instructional materials, confidentiality, privacy, and operational support. You want to make sure that you have sufficient staff, and that includes a quality coordinator that's going to be responsible for all the components of the diabetic education piece. The service design, the evaluation, and the continuous quality improvement, where everything is discussed on a quarterly basis. At least one of the following team members must be responsible for facilitating the diabetes self-management education: a registered nurse, a registered dietitian or nutritionist, a pharmacist with those 15 hours of CE that we talked about earlier, or another healthcare professional holding a certification in diabetes education. You also need to have a curriculum that covers a variety of things to meet the needs of the patients. There's got to be an overview. Remember, you're training your patients on how to control and maintain control of their diabetes. So they need to know something about what diabetes is. You're going to do an overview. You're going to do, you know, a pathophysiology of diabetes. You're going to talk about nutrition, exercise, and activity, how that relates to it, and about their medications, including skills related to self-administration of injectable drugs like insulin. self-monitoring of it and use of results. Prevention, detection, and treatment of any kind of acute or chronic complications. And of course, diabetic education would not be complete without addressing foot, skin, and dental care, because as we know, diabetes impacts those greatly. There may be behavior change strategies that you need to address. And preconception care, pregnancy, and gestational diabetes. Certainly, the relationship between nutrition, exercise, medication, and blood glucose levels need to be discussed as well, and the impact that it has on your patient. The team must be qualified to provide the following training subjects to meet the needs of the patients. Talking about stress, psychosocial adjustment, how family involvement and social support impact glucose levels, the benefits, risks, and management options for improving the blood glucose control, and the use of healthcare system, not only coming to you for training, but the community resources that are available. You must have a process outlined for what the curriculum consists of and how an individual assessment and education plan is done collaboratively with the patients. One of the things that, as a diabetic education provider, you need to develop an individualized diabetes plan of care, setting goals. It's all going to be based on that initial assessment with that initial meeting with your patient. What are their priorities and values? And we like to look at it here at the compliance team as what matters most to the patient. Why do they want to improve their status of their diabetes? Do they want to play with their grandchildren? Do they want to be able to have enough energy to go upstairs and sleep with their spouse that they haven't done with in a while? These are all very important identified individual patient goals that you need to focus on in order to get the adherence that you hope for in providing these education classes. The plan of care is going to obviously include the medical history, the present health status, you know, resource utilization, risk factors, you know, does diabetes run in the family? Are they smokers? So forth and so on. And their knowledge of diabetes. And have they been giving themselves insulin for a period of time that they're very skilled at injection? And certainly any cultural influence. They may have health beliefs and attitudes that impact injection or medical intervention and any kind of barriers to learning. Then we're talking about maybe, you know, they can't read. Maybe they have impaired vision or hearing. So you need to address these barriers. All of this is done in collaboration with the patient, developing that individual education plan and assessing and determining the goals that are most appropriate for that individual patient. An assessment and evaluation is sent to the referring physician. So they are up to date with what is happening with Mrs. McGillicuddy and her diabetes classes. And that what you offer is appropriate in terms of timely and, you know, that the patients can attend with, you know, depending on what time of the day you have it. The process also ensures that there are options and resources available for ongoing support. So what kind of resources are we talking about? Continuing education, physical activity programs, maybe at the local Y, weight loss support. You also know that, you know, the local community hospital has weight loss classes, smoking cessation options, and a lot of the grocery store chains are doing additional programs for diabetics. Swimming. Do they enjoy swimming and that's how they can get their exercise? And any additional website that they can visit in order to get more education. Now, we talked about the fact that there needs to be a quality coordinator, and that's the one that's going to maintain internal performance measurement, which, of course, is required. The program may include stress and health outcomes, for example, improving the patient's diabetes control, providing collection and analysis and reporting of data that permits this measurement of performance outcomes and other quality indicators. We also talked about patient satisfaction and complaints. How can you improve what you offer to your diabetic patient? And how do you monitor and communicate that to the patient and their family? And lastly, that you evaluate your program on an annual basis. This is key because you want to look back at the services offered, what the outcome has been. Have you had retention with your patients over the past few months that you've offered these classes? And have they improved where they need to improve with their glucose levels, with decreasing their stress, maybe stopping smoking, whatever the goals were? Did you have a positive outcome? That's what we're all looking for. A positive outcome is going to create lower cost in healthcare. It's going to keep these diabetics out of the emergency department and out of having readmissions. And most importantly, Mrs. McGillicuddy can play with her grandson, Nate. And that's really what it's all about. One last thing before we bid fond farewell is we're going to be attending MedTrade, exhibiting and celebrating our 25th year in business. We will be MedTrade Atlanta, booth 1735, from October 21st to the 24th. Please come visit us and share and learn more about this exciting new program and how your DemiPost or pharmacy business can become a diabetic hub. Thank you for joining.
For more information about the Compliance Team, visit our website at thecomplianceteam.org or call us at 215-654-9110. And thank you again for listening.